It was during that time God fully convinced me of its requirement for His people and its eternal consequences. From that background, I'd like to share what God revealed to me through a testimonies of encounters with Jesus in heaven and hell, where tithing is raised as an important eternal issue, and b in the Word of God. A the testimonies on tithing from heaven and hell experiences. Here are people who testify of meeting Jesus face to face in heaven or hell, or both, either through dying and returning or in open vision experiences. They come from many different nations, showing God is spreading this warning message about tithing widely to many. One pastor, Bronny Duyon, after dying and going to heaven, he was given 6 messages from the Lord and to tell the church upon his return. Message 4, tell my children, they must be obedient to give tithes and offerings, said the Lord Jesus. While Jesus was giving me this message, he said, my child, look there. He showed me beautiful houses which are ready for his children. My child, these houses are ready, I prepared for all my children that believe and are obedient to me. Then he showed me incomplete houses. I asked, Lord, why are these houses not yet completed? The Lord Jesus said, my child, these houses belong to my children that are not generous giving tithe and offerings. These houses will be ready and completed after my children give more tithes and offerings in my house. To Laura Wanma, testimony of heaven and hell. While on a visitation to hell with the Lord Jesus, Laura testifies, I saw a lot of people being tortured, and Jesus said to me, these people are not faithful with their tithe. 3. Chu Thomas, heaven is so real. Book Chu was told by the Lord, the only ones who will go there, heaven, are the obedient and pure-hearted children. Tell my children to preach the gospel. I am coming soon for those who are waiting and ready for me. The Lord added, those who don't tithe are disobedient children. Should I tell this to anyone, Lord? Chu asked. I want you to tell it to everyone. Write down everything I show you and tell you, said the Lord. And any Christian who doesn't tithe will not be blessed because they love money more than my word. Those who love money more than my word will never see my kingdom. You already know where they be at the end, said the Lord. For the 7 Colombian youths, revelation of heaven and hell. We arrived in a place that looked like a big swimming pool of fire, with thousands of men and women inside of it. Each of them had metal plate on their chest that read, I am here for not giving tithes and offerings. When I read that, I asked the Lord, Lord, how can this be possible, that people are here for this reason? The Lord responded, yes, because these people thought that tithes and offerings were not important, when my word shows it as a command. In Malachi 3:8-9 it says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. The Lord told me that when his people withhold their tithes, it hinders the work of the Lord, and then the gospel is not preached. People in this place suffered 1,000 times worse than others, because they knew the word of the Lord and disobeyed. 5. Queen Dixon, a gate of hell, vision. A trip to hell, the God of all ages spoke directly to me. This is what he said to me, and let me just say that he was angry. When he spoke, his voice went through my bones like a massive vibration. All I could do is just lay there and hear my master speak. He said, this is the end of all sin if you do not serve me with your whole heart. I will use you to save others, but you will die and go to hell. If you do not serve me with your whole heart, then you serve me not at all. Then the Lord of hosts got even angrier and said, tithes and offerings are a commandment. This is how my word is preached, this is what takes care of my churches. The Lord said, you go and tell them, without holiness, no man can enter into my kingdom. The Lord said to me exactly what was in the Bible, be ye holy as I am holy. 6. Pastor Park Yong Jiwa, visit to heaven and hell, 1 to 1,000 testimony. After arriving in heaven, the Lord then asked me 5 questions. Question 5 was, did you tithe properly? I continued with my questions, what shall I do on earth to provide more materials for my home? The angels replied, there are 7 things one must do to build up their materials to build their home. 5th, one's offering to the Lord. 6. Their obedience in giving tithes to God. After visiting hell, I then saw many pastors, elders, and deacons in hell. I asked the angel, "I know them. They had served God faithfully while on the earth. They had died some time ago. We all had thought they were in heaven with God. But now, I see them all in hell and they are crying out that it is so hot. Why are they here?" There were so many pastors, elders, deacons, and all other lay believers. The angel answered, "Pastor Park Yong-jae, a person can appear to be a true follower of Christ on the outside, but God knows the heart. They did not tithe properly, other sins were also named, see full testimony for details. On their deathbeds, they thought they had done a good job, so they did not repent of those things. This is why they were thrown in the fires of hell." 7. Angelica Zambrano's second visit to heaven and hell. Among all those people, in hell, I heard someone saying, "I ask for your forgiveness now, Lord, because I have stolen from you, forgive me for stealing, I stole from you, Lord, and I do not want to do it again." I asked, "Lord, who is he and why does he say he stole from you?" "My child, I will show you who he is." We entered his cell and I saw a disfigured man. The flames opened up and I could see that he was being tormented. All those people who are in hell have a plaque on their chest, and 666 on their forehead. This man extended his hand and said, "Lord, forgive me." I asked, "Why are you here?" He replied, "I'll tell you my story. I was a Christian leader, for 20 years I had known Christ, but during the 20 years I said, all that money from my tithing and offerings were just to sustain the pastors, but now I regret it because I understand and I know that it wasn't for them, it was for the Lord, and that is why I say I have stolen from God." At this very moment there are many people on earth that are robbing the Lord like I did. When you return to earth, tell all those people who don't want to give their offerings and tithes, not to steal from the Lord, otherwise, they'll wind up in hell, and no thief will enter the kingdom of heaven. I knew the Holy Word, now I regret it and realize I robbed the Lord. Mal 3:8, he said, "Tell the people when they give to God, give the Lord with true love." 2 Cor 9:7, this man kept pleading, "Lord, forgive me," and the Lord replied, "It is too late, there is no opportunity for you. Be tithing in the Word of God." Let's look at the four main reasons why tithing is for the believer today. Firstly, it's a continuing moral command. Some will say we are not under the law now under grace, so tithing is not required. But tithing is not a sacrificial, ceremonial or temple law that in the NT are clearly explained as no longer required, rather it is a moral law or command. Not tithing is defined as stealing in the following scripture: "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you?" In tithes and offering, Mal 3:8, "and is a commandment, not a suggestion, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts." Mal 3:10, moral laws or commands against such things as stealing, lying, adultery, idolatry, will always be wrong and punishable, and moral laws for things like putting God first, honoring your parents and tithing will always be required, as they reflect God's unchanging righteousness, and are repeated in the New Testament. As Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:17-20, "Everyone who commits, practices, sin is guilty of lawlessness, for that is what sin is, lawlessness, the breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. 1 John 3,4 amp. Secondly, tithing is also a pre-law principle of putting God first with our money that we see first with Abraham and the patriarchs in the book of Genesis, and he gave him Melchizedek a tithe of all, Gen 14,20. Thirdly, many Christians are not aware of this, but in the New Testament, tithing reappears in the priesthood of Jesus. Hebrews 6:19 speaks about the inner sanctuary behind the curtain and tells us, Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek, Heb 6:20. So, Jesus is our high priest in the order of Melchizedek. The book of Hebrews goes on to explain the part tithing played in the priesthood of Melchizedek and in the high priesthood of Jesus. Just think how great he Melchizedek was, even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is, their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Notice the emphasis on the tenth. And without doubt the lesser person is blessed by the greater. Abraham was lesser than Melchizedek because he was blessed by Melchizedek. In the one case, the case of the Lord, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living, Heb 7,4-8, the priesthood of Melchizedek is an eternal priesthood because the one who is in this priesthood never dies. Hebrews states Jesus lives forever as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the new covenant order. And in his priesthood he receives the tithes of his people. So we can see that tithing has a continuous history from Abraham onwards, from Abraham to Jacob, to the nation of Israel, and then to Christians through the ministry of Jesus as our high priest. According to Scripture, when we set aside our first tenth and offer our tithe to Jesus, we are actually acknowledging that Jesus is our high priest according to the priesthood of Melchizedek. This is one of the ways we are able to honor him and acknowledge him as our high priest. For more on this point, see Tithing Teaching by Derek Prince. Fourthly, tithing appears in the New Testament 7 times, 3 times by Jesus, 4 times in Hebrews, and never does it say the practice has been finished. Jesus said twice in the Gospels, "For you pay tithe of mint, anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done, without leaving the others undone," Matt 23:23. So Jesus said to do it. Some try to make tithing a finished issue along with Old Testament issues like circumcision. But let's compare them. Circumcision was raised as an issue of debate in the book of Acts. It has a whole book, Galatians, written to explain its passing. The matter is finished beyond question. But tithing has no scriptures at all stating it's finished, no, not one, either by Jesus, Paul, Peter, John, no one. But we have Jesus and the book of Hebrews reaffirming its place. These points should settle the issue without people trying to look for a theological loophole, as many do in their own deception. But many try to use a scripture by Paul about cheerful giving to disregard tithing, which it does not and never mentions tithing. But this is in error, as Paul's words, about helping a church in need, are only additional to Jesus' teaching, they do not replace them. From Paul's words we need to ensure we give tithes and offerings cheerfully and gratefully, not arguing and grumbling about it. Jesus's words are the foremost in the church upon which others are built. So tithing is a continuing moral command, a pre-law principle of putting God first, a part of honoring Jesus in his high priestly ministry in the order of Melchizedek, is reaffirmed by Jesus and Hebrews, and has not one scripture saying it's finished, so we best obey. 1. The cost of continued disobedience: we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, which cannot be earned, but God's word is also clear that many grace-saved Christians will not make it to heaven because of failing to repent, and continued disobedience and lawlessness in their lives. His word says those who name his name must depart from iniquity, and that those who truly love him are the ones who obey his commandments, 1 John 2,4-5, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. 22 Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? 23 And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew 7:24-27, or as the Amplified says, you who act wickedly disregarding my commands. 2 Conclusion: this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5:3-4. I submit that God's word is clear that tithing is for today's believers and not tithing is stealing from God, Mal 3:8, and it also says that no thief will enter the kingdom of heaven, 1 Cor 6:10. Don't risk damning your soul over non-tithing or by believing the false anti-tithing teachings. Take heed of these warnings, they are not given in vain. If you now realize you need to start tithing, confess your sin and repent today, and start giving your tithe, the first tenth or 10% of your income. If you are struggling financially, ask for his help. His grace is sufficient to help you find a way out of financial troubles and empower you to live obediently. We must also be willing to make sacrifices of other things to put God first with our money. If you're still wrestling with this issue, simply seek God with an open and humble heart and ask him to reveal the 100% truth on the matter. He promised if you would ask, you will receive. Consider sharing this with others who need it.